Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It was Juice WRLD who told us all legends fall in the making. And tragically, that was the case for him too. Now 5 years on from his premature passing, he remains one of the most popular artists in the world. Even today, Juice WRLD is still dominating the streaming platforms, with his tracks averaging an astonishing 212 million streams sold, a number unmatched by anyone in hip-hop. However, most of his fans believe that the public's continued love for him is only because of the impact he left on Earth while he was physically here. Because, in their opinion, those in charge of keeping his spirit alive are closer to sabotaging it more than anything. In fact, many feel that those responsible for honoring Juice's legacy are doing the complete opposite by exploiting, mishandling, and tarnishing the very pieces of art that he left behind. And when you consider how drastically the quality and the reception of his posthumous releases have declined over time, it's easy to see why, for so many fans, the latest efforts to artificially further his career feel like the final straw. It's your boy Luesta, and this is how Juice WRLD's legacy has been tarnished by his team. Back when Juice first passed on that fateful night in Chicago's Midway Airport, everyone immediately hoped that Grade A Productions, the label that has been overseeing his career from the outset, would try with their best abilities to respectfully handle this overwhelming loss. And why wouldn't they? Because the company, which is ran by the former rapper turned industry titan Lil Bibby, his brother G-Money, and Peter Gideonwo, had always guided Juice's career. And if you ask someone like Bibby, he always had Jared's best interests in mind. He even tried to protect him from himself when things got dark.
I guess, you know, leading up, you know, to the incident at the airport, that he was already checked into rehab. He was already scheduled to go.
But this is all right. This confidential. But yeah, he was, we already had him signed up for rehab. He already agreed to go.
Yeah.
Because that was like pulling teeth with him. Like I said, he was taking 1.5 pills. And like, I thought that was crazy. You know what I'm saying? Right? Because all of my, like Herb and all of them, they only taking one or a half, you know what I'm saying? So 1.5 compared to a half, I'm looking like, bro, what the fuck? So I get to freaking out, like, bro, what the fuck? Like, I get to telling everybody, like, man, look, we gotta send this kid to rehab. He's doing 4 pills, da 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 da. I'm freaking out, you know, I'm telling everybody from the label, I'm telling everybody, you know? We found out he was doing more than 4. Oh, like a week before he passed, you know? We found out he was doing, I ain't gonna say the number, but it was a lot.
Huge number.
Yeah.
So that freaked you out.
That was the final straw. Like, he said, all right, I'll go, but I'm not stopping.
Okay.
He said, all right, I'll go, but I'm not stopping. Like, right. I'll lower my dosage, da da da, but I like doing it too much. Like, I ain't stopping.
Now, it's always easy to place the blame on other people, but truly, you really can't stop an addict from using unless they want to. Unfortunately, Juice was one of those people who didn't want any help, leading to his untimely passing just days after his 21st birthday. And as rumors of Juice leaving behind a treasure trove of music began to surface the internet, fans expected Bibby to pull off something special in celebration of their fallen hero, which is exactly what happened when Legends Never Die dropped in 2020. It wasn't just the best-selling posthumous album of all time, but a rare case where it was pretty much universally praised for its faithfulness to the late artist's vision. And at that point, there was a lot of goodwill towards Grade A and Co. And a lot of that came down to the fact that they spoke as if they were treating Juice's work with extreme care. And in a 2022 interview with Forbes, Lil Bibby definitely made it seem that way. He left his fans with a ton of music. People just remember him for being a super nice and kind person. I knew him for 4 or 5 years. He was one of the nicest people I ever met. Bibby would then go on to elaborate on the careful deliberation involved in releasing Juice's unreleased tracks, considering factors such as what fans are feeling, how music has evolved over the years, and what Juice himself would have wanted. Then, there was the human element to it all. In interviews, Bibby indicated that Juice wasn't just his artist, but someone he genuinely cared about. He even admitted that going back through his catalog to put the album together took a huge emotional toll on him.
How was it putting together that album after he had died?
That was rough, man.
Yeah.
Because I ain't hear those songs, but I didn't hear all those songs. I start hearing them after he passed. I'm like, dad, he was talking about, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know he was saying all that shit, man. Like, did you hear the shit?
Yeah.
He was saying, like, basically, like, he wanted to, like he wanted to die some shit, man. Yeah. And that shit hit me, like, bro, I cried, though, like, listening to some of that shit.
Yeah.
As tough as it must have been, nobody could argue with the result. And for grade A, it paid off big time, earning them the third most successful album in 2020. But while everyone was relatively happy with what they delivered on that occasion, the same can't be said for basically every move since then. Because whether it was driven by financial motives, frustration with the audience, or a fundamental understanding of what fans really wanted from Juice, things have taken a serious turn for the worse since Grade A's initial triumph. In the wake of the release of their third and allegedly final posthumous Juice WRLD album, it's starting to look like the damage to the relationship between Grade A and those who love and treasure Juice is irreversible. Although it's not something that happened overnight, the dynamic between Grade A and Juice's fanbase has really mutated into something far less loving and community-based over recent years. Instead, it now feels more like a transactional exchange between customer and salesman, leaving everyone involved unsatisfied. While it wasn't really one individual incident that sparked this, things really began to change when they started making some unethical business moves to support their protege, the Kid LAROI. In the wake of Juice's death, the Australian rapper and singer immediately began to become Grade A's top priority. And soon, they were holding Juice's music for ransom in an attempt to boost the sales of the Kid LAROI's project.
So when the album dropped, Legends Never Die, Bibby said, get 100K on Kid LAROI's album and we'll drop the deluxe. Never drop the deluxe.
Wait, Bibby said if you get 100K on Kid LAROI,
or 50K or something,
they'll drop the deluxe to
week, they'll drop the deluxe to Legends Never Die
to Juice's shit.
Yeah. So on Twitter, and he lied. He keeps promoting Kid LAROI. I feel like he's trying to boost Kid LAROI with Juice's status.
Okay, I don't know if it's tasteful or just tasteless. I guess the fans would decide. Yeah, they are. Like the hell, like, you know what I mean? Hey, Juice isn't here anymore, and you know, I think there's a respectful way to do it. I wouldn't say necessarily if you're lying to fans about putting out Juice WRLD's music and you're having them basically forcing them to go support the Kid LAROI, that's the best thing to do. But truth be told, I'm really trying to, I don't want to be disrespectful with this phrase, but one monkey don't stop a show. Like, Juice passed away. They running business over there. They're not about to be like, all right, let's keep crying and just put Juice's stuff out. They're trying to get the next horse to, again, it's business.
And it didn't help that by this point, the quality control of the Juice WRLD projects they were curating were beginning to decline. As when his second posthumous album, Fighting Demons, dropped, the response was vastly different than how Legends Never Die was received.
I don't think I need to remind you guys of how many artists we've unfortunately lost over the past 5 years and how many mediocre and somewhat unfinished posthumous records have followed just maybe months later. But like I said, Legends was a sufficient display of Juice's style, his abilities, and the general themes that painted his lyricism. However, I'm not as hopeful for this second posthumous record to turn out as consistent. There are some tracks on this thing that lead me to believe that we're beginning to scrape the bottom of the barrel here in terms of, like, workable, shareable songs, which honestly is just not the quality level that I would hope a Juice project would be at, especially since we're kind of dipping in for a second time to drop another posthumous album. I guess all I can hope for is that if there is enough material for a third record, that it is, combed over a little more carefully and groomed for, a better presentation, and that, Juice's loved ones are seeing the benefit of these projects coming out. Feeling a strong 4 to a light 5 on this one.
After such a careful and considered first attempt, it suddenly seemed like they were falling into the typical traps of a posthumous project. Like forced features with artists Juice never even met while he was alive, such as Suga from BTS, for example.
This is the second posthumous album, and it's been less than 2 years he's passed away. And not only that, but we've gotten 2 deluxe versions of these albums, and nobody's asking for all this music. I mean, let the man rest. And the other thing too is, like, I'm very conflicted about this because I really do believe that the family, you know, deserves to reap the benefits of the artist's work, but maybe do that in the spirit of a greatest hits album instead. Because to me, I don't care, you know, if it's the brother, the sister, the mother, the girlfriend of the artist. is, but you don't know. You don't. You shouldn't have that creative decision to know if the artist would have put out that song or that album or that body of work.
On top of that, the rollout came with the usual issues, feeling less like a heartfelt tribute to a beloved artist and more like another commercial cash grab.
The fans deserve to have the music, and at the same time, the artist's name deserves to be respected at this point, because again, like, as soon as like there's all kinds of these crazy marketing stunts and all these, you know, sort of marketing rollouts that come into a posthumous album, it's like, okay, what are you guys really doing here? You know, like, obviously, you know, we know records have to sell, but put the music out for the fans if that's what you guys really want to do and see how it sticks. And at the end of the day, like, you guys are still leading regardless of what the amount is, so it's a win for the fans, it's a win for the artist, because you're not disrespecting his name by putting out, you know, half-assed material out there. And, you know, also you guys get to get your cut out of it and really get to, you know, benefit from it. But when you start, like, you know, teasing the album for months at a time and treating it like it's a regular rollout and doing all these crazy promotions, and
it's too much, man.
Dropped in December of 2021, it was initially expected that the long-awaited follow-up, The Party Never Ends, would emerge soon after. After all, Bibby had teased it before Fighting Demons ever dropped. And this time, his manager proclaimed that it was going to be a different experience than what fans were likely anticipating in the same Forbes interview. Now, I'm feeling like the fans want a fun Juice. Juice wasn't always sad and in his feelings. Sometimes, he'd make happy music. Every day was a new show. Like, he would get in an argument with his girlfriend one day, and then he would go in the studio and make 5 love songs to try and make up and play for her so she would be happy. Considering Juice's fans loved his contemplative and emotional approach to his music, this rang alarm bells straight away. However, this was just one of several warning signs before it dropped, because over the course of a few years, it seemed that the creators lost their understanding of what made a great Juice WRLD song and how to preserve its essence. This is something that Anthony Fantano explains perfectly in a video titled "This Is Insulting," where he said,
"Yeah, the Juice WRLD music we have continued to get is just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Either it's redundant and it doesn't really add to his catalog, it doesn't really, you know, sort of make for the best stuff he's ever written or performed or released, as Juice WRLD was very clearly the kind of artist who, you know, would just like record a lot, record profusely, kind of just like, you know, do all of his tracks and everything on the fly, and then pick out of what was left over to kind of just grab the highlights and put those onto records, which, I mean, you know, that's a valid way to go about your process. But that doesn't mean every single thing he did in every single moment or recording that we could possibly cobble together should see the light of day."
And to make matters worse, the way it's packaged is doing them no favors. Just like Pop Smoke fans experienced years ago with Virgil Abloh's cover for his first posthumous project, the 999 crew were horrified by the artwork for The Party Never Ends. The artwork was helmed by Takashi Murakami, the legendary Japanese designer behind Ye albums like Kids See Ghosts and Graduation, among others. But this was almost unanimously declared to not be it.
The cover got announced about a week before the release, and honestly, it was met with a lot of negative reactions. People were saying it didn't look professional, which, looking at it, is a fair critique. Then there's a 6-pack abs on a cartoon version of Juice, which a lot of people thought looked unrealistic and unnecessary. Overall, this cover was, let's just say, not it.
Besides the fact that the artwork just wasn't great, it was also problematic when you consider how Juice passed on.
So, frankly, I feel like it's kind of, again, disrespectful, reductive, and out of fucking touch to drop a record and, like, an album cover that's like, "Hey, Juice WRLD, endless party, we're having a great time, oh, it's so psychedelic, we're out of our minds, we're totally high, we're wigged out, whoa." Like, what an awful message to send.
Despite all the flack they were catching, they insisted that it was the right thing to do. In an interview shortly before the album's release, Grade A's Peter Gideonwo talked about the cover art, and he made a bold claim saying that this was just what Juice WRLD would have wanted. Prior to Juice's passing a month or two before, in between his tour in Australia, he booked a private jet for $200,000 and went to meet Murakami. His goal was always to work with Murakami in any capacity. After he passed, we made it a priority to make sure Murakami had something to do with the final album, because it was that important to Juice when he was alive. He expressed his vision to him. Murakami's not just out here doing album covers. We tried to do things that he would have loved, to keep his legacy alive and aligned with what he wanted to do. With all of this going on, and his fans making comparisons to how other legacies of fellow hip-hop icons are being handled, it's safe to say that expectations surrounding the actual finished product were pretty low, leading some users to really admire how the teams of artists like Mac Miller and Lil Peep have moved in making sure their catalogs get the justice they deserve. To make things even worse, the album carried a lot of weight. Lil Bibby made it clear from the start that this record was meant to be Juice WRLD's final chapter, a proper send-off to honor his legacy as an artist. "I think it just feels right to end it on a high note like this," he said. "I know he's got tons of leaked tracks out there, but this feels like the right way to close things out, with the Fortnite party and the United Center celebration. A lot of his music is on the sad side, but this one feels more uplifting, like a real celebration." But despite all the effort to make this a meaningful tribute, what was meant to be a celebration ended up spiraling into a disaster. And the worst part, it didn't have to be this way. And they could have saved it if they just implemented a little restraint or simply listened to the fans. On the day the Party Never Ends emerged, Juice WRLD fans unsurprisingly flocked to hear what was on offer. So much so that he was the most streamed artist in the entirety of the US. But as they hit play on the album that was billed as a celebration of all that was so unique and inspiring about Juice, the opposite proved to be true. And as soon as they heard it, people already felt like it wasn't it. Or at the very least, it wasn't what he deserved as a send-off.
I understand as to why a lot of the hardcore Juice WRLD fans were heated.
Intro, outro, back.
Yeah.
They fucked up with that.
18 tracks, in reality, probably like...
10, 12 maybe?
Maybe like 8 are like really like... You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I mean, this is me speaking as a Juice WRLD fan to y'all. Let's just keep listening to them fucking leaked tracks, because who knows if we're gonna get them as a official release. And if they're out there and they be banging, might as well.
There wasn't even a singular issue either. From the track list to the production, people were dissatisfied, if not disgusted. This was not a good album. Everything about it is flawed. The auto-tune, vocals, mixing, and beats were all poor quality. The last ever Juice WRLD album the fans will ever stay up for, meant to honor how diverse his talent was. And they infest it with more dog shit posthumous features, shit mixing, and depressive tracks. Just listen to a Leroy song with literally nothing on the song from Juice. They did my goat so dirty, man. To make matters worse, it looks like the songs are quickly cascading out of the rotations of fans to the point that it seems primed to flop. This is because after they checked it out, people just aren't returning for more. Naturally, people were quick to point fingers, and they landed in familiar directions. You can thank Bibby and that goof Benny Blanco. That's what they get for ignoring fans and ruining the legacy of a great artist. So what went wrong? Well, let's start with the producer in question, Benny Blanco. If you're not familiar, he's a multi-award winning producer who worked with Juice WRLD on 5 tracks. Now, that's obviously a lot less than people like Nick Mira and Max Lord, a man who Bibby initially claimed would be crucial to the process. Nah, it's the craziest shit because he recorded it in a lot of different places. He recorded a lot of his music with this one engineer, Max Lord. I had to go pull up on Max and go through his vault, which 90% of it was already leaked. I had to pick the best songs that weren't leaked and go to other people. Everybody was hitting me. Oh, I got some songs that aren't leaked. I gotta pick through everybody's shit. And a lot of time they were leaked. Back in September of this year, Max opened up about the project and insisted that the lack of a release date came about because some of their gambles hadn't paid off.
Max, what's the actual reason the Party Never End hasn't come out?
Bibby is a very thorough thinker. He said to think about stuff, I think.
You know that?
Try things to see if they worked or not. And I don't think they worked all the way as intended, so...
Like, I think the whole Benny Blanco thing got resolved.
Bibby thinks about things a lot, and then tried the Benny thing. The Benny thing might not have worked out all the way like that, so it looks like we're back in action, but don't speak too soon. But there's a lot more movement and talking about it going on that wasn't happening for like a whole year. So we're looking good, boys. Things are looking up.
Now, it's not like Benny had never met Juice. He had real experiences with him and even praised his incredible ability to produce songs, even though they emerged from nowhere.
Real Shit was the first one we ever did. The second one we ever did was Roses. He literally gets in the booth, freestyles all the lyrics, all the melodies, did the whole song, and then we'll be like, all right, play it again. Then he would do it again, and then he would do it one more time, and then by the time he was done, he would have 3 full finished songs, completely different lyrics, melodies, everything. And he'd say, all right, pick the best one. And he would get out of the booth. Sometimes I would just take the beat away and make 3 different beats to every single thing he would.
Over time, they got reasonably tight and appeared alongside each other in interviews. At one stage, Benny even discussed Juice's drug use with him and seemed to indicate that he was doing too much without actually intervening.
But like, how do people do, well, I don't get the whole lean thing. Like, how do you do lean knowing that like, it's like, it can kill you right away? Like,
I mean, I feel like in today's society, the oxygen we breathe could kill us. Like,
that's true.
Anything.
But it's so crazy. I'd be so scared to try.
Like, but you know what, though? It depends on your usage, bro. Like, some people could drink casually, sip casually all their lives and be perfectly okay. Because I feel like if you sip casually, it's identical to what alcohol does to your liver if you get drunk.
Yeah.
But you have those people that take it to the extreme.
But as has become clear, all the Grammys Benny has picked up doesn't mean that he was the person to lead the project. And it seems like Juice's fans will never forgive him, nor Grade A, for handling what should have been an absolute home run so badly. Basically, they scrapped Max Lord's version of The Party Never Ends and handed it off to Benny instead. Any of Juice's fans could have just picked a few solid leaks, thrown in two unreleased tracks, added a couple of unheard songs, and, you know, called it a day. But instead, they decided to put all of their energy into the promo and getting Fall Out Boy of all people on board. It's honestly really dumb to throw out the work of a guy who is in the studio with Juice every single day for a pop producer whose one pre-death single with Juice is his second least successful track. Whatever chemistry Juice had with Benny doesn't even come close to what he had with Max, the guy who helped create his biggest hits. While Max Lord had remained silent on the issue, other regular collaborators and friends of Juice have sounded off, including DJ Scheme, who was known to be really close with Juice WRLD as well as XXXTentacion. As not only did he feel that Benny wasn't the guy who should have got the call, but that he wasn't doing his part to alert his fan base to his existence. In a now deleted tweet, DJ Scheme wrote on X saying, "How the hell do you help put an album together and don't post it once? I don't care. Benny should have never touched it. He was never the man for the job." As is often the case with posthumous albums, the disappointing outcome of The Party Never Ends has turned into a classic case of everyone passing the blame. That includes Lil Bibby, who at times seems to be growing bitter towards the fans themselves. In a Rolling Stone interview prior to the album's release, he discussed where he was at with the project and pretty much blamed everything on the leaker as opposed to anyone else. "I always have a list of my favorite Juice songs, but the fans always leak my favorite ones. So it's been tough putting it together because I always gotta go back in and find new good songs, as somehow it's new leaks every single day." Then he went directly at the fans saying, "I have a love-hate thing with them. I like that they're excited about him and that they want to hear about the leaks. It's crazy to see that 5 years later, they still love him this much, but it's hurting the albums, the money, and everything. At this point, I don't really look at it for the money. I want to please the fans and make sure everything is done properly. I do get tired of them sending threats and saying crazy shit to me sometimes, but I feel like it's teaching me not to care what people think. I already didn't care what people think that much, but now I'm on a different level." Much like the fanbase's anger towards him, his own frustrations are nothing new, and at one point, he even threatened to cancel The Party Never Ends out of annoyance about the leaks. Along the way, he asked for the hate to stop straight away.
"I'm supposed to say, I love Bibby, man. Stop saying Bibby."
"People say that we don't put enough music, but then say we do it for the money," he wrote in another post. "I will try my best, but I am human and I have feelings. This is not an easy job. People making crazy allegations and saying hurtful things. I want to put out music because I know that's what Juice wanted and I know that's what the fans want, but sometimes I want to quit." Over time, the disconnect between the fans and Grade A has continued to widen. And while Bibby feels like he wasn't doing an adequate job for them to ease up, the fans are more than willing to list his failings. One fan on Reddit, summing up the frustration and racking up 400 likes, put it bluntly. "Fans just want what Juice wanted to drop to be out. Clearly, you're not doing that often. So, you're telling me Juice was getting Polo and Trippy on Feline because he didn't like Yachty anymore? Or that he wanted to drop Blood on My Jeans solo when he left it open for Gunna? Plus, why drop a 2-song EP Juice made himself and already dropped on all DSPs when he was alive on Fighting Demons? Half the stuff they do just doesn't make sense and or is obviously not something Juice himself would have done or planned on doing. The whole thing comes down to a difference in priority. For Bibby, he's attempting to run a business and is trying to monetize a catalog that is being leaked every time he turns around. On the other hand, fans are eager to simply enjoy the music and often find Bibby's efforts to ensure the releases are properly packaged to be off-putting or overly calculated. And the problem now is that what is left over isn't necessarily the best that Juice had to offer. Sure, he had recorded music at an exponential rate, but it's impossible to knock it out of the park every single time.
"Well, my music is like, I don't overthink think it. Music is really just people love to hear something that came out that was good. That's good. That's natural. That doesn't sound forced. It sounds authentic. People love that. So, you know, even certain breaths and little sounds that people make in between the words that they say can make a whole, make the song a hit. Mm. Just like the cadence of the way that they breathing and the way they mouth is like moving. You know, you can fix your mouth to talk in like a different voice. And it's just, I just let what flows out of me flows. So if it's something that sounds like it needs to be spazzed on, not spazzed, but like I try not to overthink shit.
You never write, right?
Never.
Never.
Never. No, it's like freehand versus tracing.
Oh, okay. But you don't think that, but you don't think that you could end up with something better if you sometimes wrote some stuff?
No.
It's just not for you.
Nope. Fuck that.
Had Juice WRLD survived, there's a good chance that a lot of the music we heard would have been refined or left on the cutting room floor. After all, he would have been 26 today and his focus would have shifted. Not to mention that an artist as innovative as him would have been able to move with the times and put his own spin on the modern sound, if not create a new one entirely. But above all conversations surrounding Juice's back catalog and what should be done with it, what no one really acknowledges is that in all likelihood, Grade A doesn't have as much of a say as they like to pretend they do.
That man's throwing away all responsibility of Juice WRLD so he doesn't get attacked anymore. The rapper's rights and income streams was quietly sold to Opus Music Group. Now they have the power to release hundreds of unreleased Juice WRLD tracks.
As suggested, Juice's catalog was sold to Opus Music Group in early 2022 in a nine-figure deal. Opus now owns 90% of Juice WRLD's interest in master recording income and 90% of his share of publishing ownership. Alongside that, they likely get a say over what happens with the entire arsenal of unreleased music that remains either unavailable or only heard through leaks, claiming that they want to represent the body of work of Juice WRLD, whose cultural significance and generational influence can't be overstated, is an honor and responsibility. Opus, like any major company, are acting as though they have greater ambitions other than profit. But since then, things have continued to get more convoluted. As now, a company known as Litmus Music acquired Opus for an insane $400 million. That's a lot of zeros. And with this deal, the process of handling Juice's music seems to have gotten even more complicated. So it's highly likely that control is slipping further away from the people like Bibby and ending up in the hands of those who never even knew Juice, let alone understood his vision or intentions. Whether or not this is actually the last album, it seems like Bibby and co. want to distance themselves from the idea of that being their decision. And now you know why. But the sad fact is that Juice's insane work ethic created this situation where his archive is now to be exploited. And crazily, this is something that his ex-girlfriend Ali Lotti actually predicted.
It's always been about money, and Jared made enough money to not have this issue. I would literally sit on his lap every day and be like, don't go record. I cannot let Jared's legacy be what it is. Jared would never treat any of his fans like this.
Now, Ali is a problem in itself, as she is no longer acting as the muse that Juice once depicted her as. But there's literally an entire video that I dedicated on that subject, so let's just keep with the music for this one. Although they've specified that this is the last album, Grade A has never said that it was his last release. And on that same Rolling Stone interview, Peter Jidianwo said that there were guest spots from Jared that were likely to come. On the music side, we understand what a good verse is. And I think the good part about working on Juice's stuff is when people receive a song from Juice that we say, hey, do you want to get on the song? Or whatever. People treat it like it's Drake or Kendrick Lamar, to be honest. And they try to do their best because they know at any point in time, if it's put out correctly and received correctly, it could be a very, very big song. Juice has the most songs in history, with at least 100 million streams. And he has one of the most highest stream rates of any artist that's ever been released, right? I think every Juice song averages 100 million streams. So when it comes to picking the verses and making sure they're good and authentic, it's not the hardest job because people take it very seriously, because it's almost looked at as an opportunity to get another hit record. So I think people take it very seriously in that manner. Once again, this isn't an idea that's likely to be well received by Juice's faithful fans, who literally just want to hear the songs he recorded in his lifetime rather than anything artificially made. Meanwhile, Pete and Grade just keep doing too much, claiming that they want to do quote-unquote immortal shit, but they really just keep doing things nobody asked for and that don't truly expand his legacy. So such as bringing a Juice WRLD album to Mars in 2075. This is the polar opposite of what fans want. And unfortunately, it now seems like the massive canyon that's opened between Lil Baby's team and the audience seems too big to repair. The best thing they could do now is either let it rest or place the catalog in the hands of others, such as Max Lord, who are perhaps best equipped to know what to do with it. Because if The Party Never Ends proves anything, it's that their hearts aren't in it the same way anymore. Or maybe it's time to let Juice rest and allow him to just be remembered for the incredible talent he was, rather than constantly going through those hard drives that are left behind for more.
Yo, shout to Juice too, man. That kid was so talented, man. He, like, his freestyle he did on Westwood, where he rapped for an hour, like, what the fuck? And I mean, he was he might have been mixing a little bit of written in there, but the way he was freestyle, like, that's the shit that we used to try to do at the hip hop shop, was like try to work on our freestyles, right? But be able to slip in and out of written when you need to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you got a certain punchline you want to get to take out this dude, right? So to be so young, he like mastered that so fucking quickly.
Yeah.
It's really sad, man, that like his potential was so off the chart.
Rest in peace to Juice WRLD, a true one of a kind whose legacy deserves to be protected at all costs. But Grade A aren't the only ones who are ruining this man's reputation. And if you guys want to check out what Ali Lotti is doing to his name, you can click the video on the screen. As always, I want to thank y'all for watching today's video, and I'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.